Welcome back to Coast AM. Have you seen this pterosaur video flying in Idaho? If you haven't seen it, just go to Coast AM. I was watching it a couple of times during the break, and I just got to say, what is that? Also, right below that is the Patterson film. The Bigfoot film has been stabilized once again. Check that out too as well. I still think if there is any evidence that you need for Bigfoot, it is the Patterson film. We need a film like that in the UFO circles. We're taking your calls. Mike in Seattle, Washington, you're up next right after the break. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm standing in for George Norrie. Tonight, I'm your host, Jimmy Church. You can follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. Got your questions, and I'll get to some of those in just a minute. But as promised, let's go to Mike Wildcard in Seattle, Washington. Mike, welcome to Coast AM. What's on your mind?
How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Mike.
All right. Well, I just kind of wanted to add something to a lady had called earlier talking about the bright light that she saw, and it
Yes.
lasted about 5 seconds. Well, the same incident, I don't, it's not the same incident as hers, but the same type of incident happened back in 1988. Three of the four of us were out, celebrating my buddy's graduation, and we were kind of just sitting there talking about, 88 was kind of the height of the nuclear tension between Russia and the U.S. So we were, that was kind of the subject for the evening. And what would we do if we saw a bright light, And we basically didn't do anything other than, decide it was probably time to leave and head home. But I kind of remember the incident only because in the process of us leaving, I had fell, and this was kind of a drinking area, I would say. So I cut and gashed my knee open on a broken bottle. And so we got to the hospital, and we were asking even them, did anybody see anything, report anything? And they looked at us like we were nuts, like, that never happened. What are you talking about?
Well, what did
So
the
I just
news,
wanted that,
yeah, what did the news say, Mike? There was,
Nothing. It was like it never happened.
and how many people do you think around Seattle saw the same thing? Hundreds,
Well, we
thousands?
weren't in Seattle. We were actually out in Enumclaw, Black Diamond area.
Which
And we
is.
didn't hear the boom. We saw the flash of light, and it was bright, and all the trees were like photographed into our eyeballs for about 5, 6 seconds. And then we kind of just sat there going, what just happened? So.
Yeah, it's strange how it doesn't get reported. And I'll tell you, one of my experiences, I was with a bunch of people here in the valley, in Burbank, and not too far from the Coast to Coast studios here. And right overhead, and it could have been as close as maybe a quarter of a mile, not far, right over our heads was a smoking meteor. It was so close. You could hear it, Mike. You could
I
hear
mean,
it.
I don't even know. I mean, like, over the year, like, that lady is the first one to mention anything. So, I mean, all these years, I mean, we're in 2015 now. I mean, this happened in 88. And, like, all these years, me and my friends were the only ones that this ever happened to.
Well, and that's my
We hadn't.
point. Well, which is my point, Mike. It can happen and it doesn't get reported. And it doesn't make the news. What I saw overhead with friends, and it was clear in the middle of the day, and it didn't make the news. And you would think that an event like that here in the valley would be reported by thousands of people, and nobody seemed to have seen it but us. And I find that strange, just like you and your friends. And just, I think her name was May. Same
It was
situation with
definitely
her.
different. It was, I mean, that was like one of many paranormal things that have happened, but I just wanted to let that lady know that she wasn't the only one that
That's exactly my point. Thank
had
you.
an incident. All right,
Thank
thank you.
you, Mike. Let's go to JD in Sacramento, California. JD, welcome to Coast AM.
Yes, how are you tonight?
I am fantastic, JD. What's on your mind?
Good. I'm a first-time caller, and I've been listening to your show, and it's a wonderful show, and you've done an outstanding job, Richard, taking over for George. But I was listening to, Jimmy, I was listening to Richard and a couple of callers earlier, and they talked about or asked the question, if the government was making these huge ships. Now, I'm going to share a story with you about what has occurred to me personally. And if people don't believe that UFOs exist, that's their prerogative, but they exist very well now. In the summer of 66, my girlfriend and I were parked, and we were observing this about 11, maybe 12 o'clock at night. We were in Castro Valley, California, up in the hills. About 3-4 miles away, there's a lake called Lake Chabot Lake. There was an object that was flashing illuminations from red, green to blue. And this drew our attention. We observed this object for approximately an hour just to get our bearings on where it was and what type of craft that this was. Now, what was highly unusual about this is everything I'm about to describe. But this span, it spanned from, if you're familiar with the geographical location of Castro Valley area, it spanned from the Nimitz Freeway to the end of, there's a lake called Lake Chabot. The city is closer in between the view between where it was sitting and where we were viewing it, about 3 miles away. Above the craft itself was a cloud layer only above it.
How large was the craft, JD?
The craft, we tried to get a measurement. My uncle is an engineer. He helped design this hospital that was in between the site of the actual craft and us. The hospital is approximately 10 stories in height. If you turn the hospital to a side long ways, it was longer than six of those distances between one end and the other end. Now, as we watched this craft, there was a little red dot, and it would appear on one edge of the craft and go across the face of it where we could see it, and it would disappear and reappear on another end of the craft and at an infrequent speed and time. So after studying this for about an hour, we found out the bearings of this location, and we drove down through it. But to get to that location, because we wanted to get a closer look, but I didn't want to come directly up underneath it, so I thought I'd just try to drive and get closer to the side of this. We drove across the freeway, which we had to get to, and down to Castro Valley Boulevard to get to that particular area. And on 11 o'clock at night, in the summertime, you have kids cruising up and down the strip in their hot rods, and I used to do the very same thing. But on that particular night, as we crossed the freeway, there were no cars whatsoever on the freeway anywhere. Now, this is a weekend.
Well, how close did you get to the craft, JD?
Okay. We drove right on up to the craft where we could actually see it above us. And we drove to the edge of it. But my girlfriend at that time, who ended up being my wife, she was talking to me. And all of a sudden, there was an emission of sound coming from inside the car. We rolled down the windows to make sure that we had good air circulation so that it's nothing to do with the car. She stopped in the middle of what she was saying, and I couldn't wake her. But I continued driving up closer to the end of this craft. It was gigantic. But as I got closer to this craft, the car started to slow down. We were going up a gradual hill up into the Lake Chabot area. The car started to slow down. The engine was slowing down, and I accelerated, and it still kept slowing down. And then I started hearing this loud pitch frequency coming from emitting from the center of the car outwards. I couldn't wake my girlfriend at that time. We headed on up, and I all of a sudden felt like the energy from the top of my head was being drawn out, just drained. And I tried to shake myself to make sure I was seeing what I was saying, doing what I was doing, and I checked the car to make sure it was still slowing down. What I believed happened, I turned the car around. I could still see this huge craft. We head back down the hill. And then all of a sudden, my girlfriend woke up in the same conversation, headed back. We head back down into Castro Valley Boulevard. The craft was gone.
Right.
All of a sudden, everybody's cruising down on the strip. The lights were on. People were driving on the freeway as usual. Now, this is the unusual part. Immediately, she was shocked. I thought we were going up. How did we turn around?
Right. It sounds like, JD, sounds like you were in some type of time slip. The craft had some type of energy that that either slowed everything down around you. There, the same cars were there. Everything was just moving so slowly or standing still that you didn't. It appeared like there wasn't any cars. That's what it sounds like. And your girlfriend, of course, picked up where she left off as soon as you were out of range from the effects of this craft. Very interesting. And you did you see the craft actually fly away, or were you just too busy driving?
I'm busy trying to keep my consciousness.
Sure.
Heading back down the hill away from the craft. And when we got to the bottom of the road, she came instantly to back in her conversation, but she stopped. She said, "What are we doing going? We were going the other direction."
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Isn't that same? Later that night, she couldn't sleep, and I was fine, but she couldn't sleep, and she was agitated. She was very irritable, and she had this lump on her arm that was bulging out of her arm. Now, here's what really got me. Now, I got 2 degrees, one in engineering and one in sociology. I'm also cleared by the United States Secret Service for many different things, and I'm not going to go into that. But this object that was in her arm, I thought maybe it was a splinter, but it wasn't red. It was just a lump. I took a needle, and I sanitized the area. I picked it with a needle, and I pulled this metallic object up about a quarter of an inch out of her skin. I took it out with some tweezers, and it was held together. What it kind of looked like was a very miniature Sputnik. You remember those?
Sure, sure. Like a little ball.
All these metallic hairs that were still under her skin, I pulled it all out, and she almost panicked.
Do you still have it?
Yes, and it was metallic because, like I said, I had tweezers holding onto it. So what we did, we put it in an envelope and sealed it because we had to tell my father. My father works for NASA, and he would have given us a better explanation of what had transpired. But we were very excited over this. But when we woke up the very next morning, the object inside the envelope had disappeared completely.
Oh, I thought you said you still had it today.
Yes, it was. We both placed it inside a sealed envelope. But when we woke up the next morning, that object there. First of all, the envelope was still sealed. We opened it up, and it was gone. It was no longer inside. So, about a week later, I go back to that same location, and then they have the whole park in maybe about a mile before you even get there, all closed down, and there was a tracking station, I guess a satellite tracking station, very close to that location. And I went up there and to ask them, did anything happen weird or strange over the last couple of nights or last week? And they stopped, and then the manager came out and was asking me about, you mean, and he gave me more specific information because I didn't want to admit what I had seen to him because I don't want to get involved too much with that sort of situation. But he advised me to go to these particular authorities that was down in the South Bay. I think it's near Moffett Field, to tell them about that. He wrote down the information for me, and after that time, I forgot about it. But since that time I took that out of her arm, she has been the worst human being that I have ever known in my life, the most violent. Now, to this day, she swears she had never passed out. She swears that we never even got to the top of the mountain. Now, me, I believe that I had gotten to the top, and before I lost consciousness, I turned the vehicle around and started driving right back down, and then she woke up. So therefore, if she believes that she was never up there.
JD, we're going to be up against a break. Let me ask you a couple of questions before I let you go. Was there any reports in the local newspapers, television? Were there other witnesses to the craft?
Yes, there was reports, and they had great big pad marks that they were doing some research on. They fabricated the story that there was a landslide up there, but I saw later photographs of the pads where some huge object must have been sitting up there in the park.
What were the other descriptions in the newspaper and the other eyewitness testimony? Was it the same as yours? Was it the same thing that you saw?
There was no eyewitness testimonies of what had occurred that night. And it's large. Now, and I've been aboard the Enterprise aircraft carrier. It was much larger than the Enterprise.
Yeah, there are so many reports about that. I was talking about that earlier in the show. You never, when somebody says to me, Jimmy, I saw something the size of an aircraft carrier in the clouds, I don't question it. I take it a step further. I want to know what time of day, how dark was it? How light was it? Were there lights on the craft? Did it make any noise? How long did you see it? Did it dematerialize? Did it appear and then disappear? Did you see it move? Because I get the same reports over and over again from friends, from very credible people that I know. And these reports are constant. Cities in the sky, things hiding in the clouds. You're not the only one, JD. I just find this totally fascinating. When we've gone through phases over the years, we've gone through phases. We went through flying saucers. We went through black triangles, different thing, balls of light, very consistent descriptions. And lately, I've been hearing more and more about these city-sized aircraft. Everybody repeats this aircraft carrier description, aircraft carriers. And I'm wondering if this isn't a new wave that is hitting us now, like the Belgian wave of the 1980s, flying saucers and that type of description in the 40s and 50s. And here it's aircraft carriers. And I hear it over and over again. This is Coast to Coast AM. I am your host tonight, standing in for George Norrie, Jimmy Church. When we come back, we'll be taking more of your calls. Up. We've got David, Mark, Frank, Trevor, Eric, Dean, Randy, all of your calls next. I'll get to them all. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and we'll be back right after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'll tell you something funny. I used to live across the street from the studios, right here. I can look out the window and look at my old pad. How trippy is that? By the way, I want to thank Richard Dolan for coming on with us tonight. He's such a great friend, such a smart guy, and, you know, just makes me look really, really good. Thank you, Richard, for coming on. And by the way, catch George's internet TV show. It's called Beyond Belief. And you can check out all of the episodes with Richard Dolan. You can sign up for just 99 cents for the first month and enjoy hours of fascinating past shows. Just go to beyondbelief.com. All right, more of your calls when I come back. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, standing in for George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. We're going to close it out, and I will get to all of your calls. I'll be back right after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Let's just jump straight into it. I want to get everybody in before we close out the show. So let's go to Wild Card. Frank in Hollywood, Maryland. Frank, I didn't know there was a Hollywood, Maryland. Good evening.
I'm glad to be back with you. There's an aspect of full disclosure that we didn't talk about.
What's that, Frank?
Third world country. A UFO crash lands or is shot down in a small African country who has no affiliation with Russia or the United States. The UFO is the size of a school bus. Half of it's in the ground. They can't get access to it. It's right in the middle of a civil war. And believe me, you don't want either one of these guys to win. It's a Joseph Kony-type rebel leader in the north and a Idi Amin-type dictator in the south.
Sure.
Now, the dictator has most of the access to the UFO crash landing site, although it's pretty much inaccessible. He wants to make it an amusement park, and he wants the United States to give him $50 billion as a down payment to put roads in and to use it as a amusement park for the world to see. The rebel leader in the north wants to sell access to the Russians. They have a dead body, and they have a live extraterrestrial. Now, since they don't have any association with the United States or Russia, but then Russia and the United States, of course, get involved with through the CIA, and it's a lot of confusion. So what do you think of that as a mini-series?
Is it a true story?
No, it's a dream I had.
Frank, it's possible
that it could, that full disclosure could start that way.
Well, and you know, in a third world country where you have where you have questionable laws and so forth, and if something like that happened, it would go to the highest bidder, wouldn't it? Idi Amin wouldn't have a problem doing that.
Or would the United States or Russia find a reason to invade, to take over this UFO crash site?
It sounds to me, Frank, like you know something, and you're just keeping it to yourself.
Well, look out for April.
Look out
for April, because the world will know. They have no other choice but to fully disclose, because the world will know.
Frank, thank you for the phone call, and it's a great story, and you're absolutely right. Hollywood script. Let's go to who's on hold the longest here. Let's go to first-time caller line Randy in Warland, Wyoming. Randy, welcome to Coast to Coast. Good morning.
Thank you, Jimmy. I went up to the Bighorn Mountains August 9th, and I took a picture and didn't look at it for 2 weeks. And when I looked at it, it was just full of Sasquatch. Too many to count.
Okay. What happened next?
I've been trying to get a hold of somebody to come up here. You were talking about the Patterson film, but get somebody up here and there's going to be proof that, you know, it's going to be irrefutable, you know.
What do you think about the Patterson film, Randy?
It's true. I seen them, you know, for myself in my own picture.
Does the Patterson film look like what you have seen?
Yes, it does.
Interesting. I think the Patterson film, the more that I watch it, what I find, this is what I try to do, Randy, and I'm sure you do the same thing. I try to be convinced that it's not real. I'm looking for the things that make me go, okay, whatever. I don't get that from the Patterson film. I don't get the things that tell me it's a hoax or somebody having fun. It's somebody in a suit. That's not what I get from the Patterson film. When I watch the Patterson film, I'm looking at something that's not human. That's what I see, and I've always found it interesting. Bigfoot Sasquatch, it's a hard thing for us to digest. It is. It really is. We haven't, well, you know, there is no corpses. There is no bones. We haven't found, you know, we just haven't seen one crossing the street. Nobody's hit yeah. one with a car. But
Jimmy, I hate to cut in, but they're in this picture I've got. There's pickup loads of skulls of them, bones.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's not just Sasquatch in the picture. There's other creatures in it I've never seen before, and I just can't explain it.
Well, I'm with you, Randy, and again, thank you for the phone call. I just think the Patterson film is a great piece of evidence. I'm going to try to get everybody in tonight. So let's go to Dean, west of the Rockies in Monterey, Canada. Dean, welcome to Coast AM.
Good morning. Just imagine you have the technology to find and locate a planet in the right place at the right time and create life and pretty much do life as we know it, as we're living it here on this planet, and you go ahead and you fill it up with a bunch of pyramids, you fill it with a bunch of dinosaurs, the bones and the ocean and everything like that, and you are from another planet far, far away, and you've been around for millions of years, and you got the technology, and then you can, I'm kind of a little bit nervous, then you can make this planet into like a vacation destination. Then you fill it up with a bunch of extremely dumbed down clones of yourself, and you feed them and you give them a bunch of information, thinking that they've been on this planet for thousands of years. And actually, basically what I'm trying to say is, this planet, I've been trying to figure out why life is here on this planet.
Well, you know, why not, Dean? Why not? It makes just as much sense as anything. Why not? And it would be like the holodeck in Star Trek, you know, the place where you want to just go on vacation. And if you had that intelligence and you wanted to build, and here's planet Earth, this perfect planet, water, trees, fruit, vegetables, life, just beautiful climate. Make that your vacation destination. Why not? It's a fantastic idea. Dean, thank you for the phone call. Let's go straight to Eric in Amarillo, Texas. I think we lost Eric in Amarillo, Texas. Let's go to Mark in Kansas City, Missouri on the wild card line. Mark, welcome to Coast AM. Good morning.
Good morning. You keep talking about this UFO the size of an aircraft carrier.
Not me, everybody, Mark.
I know, I'm one of them, too.
See, that's what I did. Isn't that what I said? Isn't it amazing? What did you see, Mark?
November 21st, 1978, at Langley Air Force Base, Virginia. I was a young airman right out of basic training, stationed at the base switchboard there. And at 2:30 a.m. in the morning, the phone lines start lighting up. All these people reporting, what's in the sky? What are these lights? What's going on outside? So me and the lady that were working the switchboard, the civilian lady, both went outside to see this thing. And by God, there it was, right there. I mean, it was just floating over the treetops right there on our base at the end of the driveway at the base switchboard with a big tree, and it was floating right across the top of the trees. I counted 6 rows of lights straight up, 64 windows across, and this thing just floated right in front of us. The lady that was with me screamed at the top of her lungs and went running inside, and I was too terrified to move. I just didn't know what the hell was going on.
Mark, really quick, before I let you go, and I want to get the rest of the calls in tonight, and thank you for the call, but one quick question before I let you go. What did you think, us or them?
I was thinking them. We didn't have anything the size of an aircraft carrier.
you never know, though, Mark. Yeah, I hear you. I've heard the same reports over and over again. There is something to it. I want to thank you for the phone call. Let's go to David. You're up next. David, wildcard line, Virginia Beach, Virginia. David, good morning. Welcome to Coast AM.
Morning, Jimmy. I find it interesting what this gentleman said earlier about the lasers being used for propulsion or, you know, dimensional, you know, shifting. But I'm a, you know, I hear all these stories and I'm a bit skeptical about all these lights, because whenever you see these supposed, you know, craft during the daytime, nobody ever mentions these lights. But
right.
At night, there's always these lights.
That's right.
What is the purpose? What is the purpose of these lights? I mean, in the military, they use them as marker lights to, you know, basically signal other aircraft. What is the purpose of multiple lights at night, unless maybe propulsion or some kind of technology to scan? But what is the purpose? That's, you know, I've always had this, and it's made me a bit skeptical when you hear all these stories. I see all these lights.
What,
you would think a craft would simply not want to be seen and would be darkened.
Right. David, don't be skeptical. The point is, with anything like that, we hear the questions all the time. If, you know, E.T., what would he need landing lights for? Why would he light up his craft? Why would he need spotlights to check out the ground? Why would he need lights? Well, then let's just back up for a second. Maybe it's not E.T. Maybe it's craft of our own, and we need to be able to see those lights and have our own identification lights on those craft. It's just ET technology. It would make perfect sense. But, and the other way to look at it is, ET, we put lights on our craft. Why wouldn't ET do the same thing that we do? It makes sense. Why, if we put lights on our craft, why wouldn't they put lights on theirs? Why would they have to ride around in the dark, no matter what the technology is? Let's go to Adele in Houston, Texas, wildcard line. Adele, welcome to Coast AM. Good morning.
Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
I am fantastic, Adele, now that I'm talking to you. What's on your mind tonight?
Jimmy, I've never told my story. On October the 13th, 2013, I was sitting outside at 1:30 in the morning. And you know, I don't sleep at night because I work nights all my life. And I kept hearing this humming. And I said, oh, what in the world is that? I live in a subdivision. And I turned around. I got up out of a chair, and I turned around, and I was looking. And then I looked up in the sky, and I see this huge UFO in the shape of a V hovered over my house. You know, I didn't know what to think. I rushed inside, got my purse, my keys, locked the house, jumped in the car, and left. Well, I could see the spaceship moving, you know, and I hit the main drag. And I parked at a Whataburger that's open 24 hours. And I was as pale as a sheet, but I could see the lighting inside the V, but I couldn't see anything. But I could see it was well lighted. The next day, I didn't come home till during the daytime. The next day they came back for me at the same time, 1:30 in the morning. But this time I had put clothes next to me. I walked into the den at 1:30 in the morning, and I see this white ball the size of a basketball going through each room in the kitchen, you know, just going through the rooms, the living room, and I see this blue lightning in the light, in the ball. And I go, oh my God, they're going to kill me. And I, what I do is I rush out, grab my clothes, lock the door, and leave again, you know? And I couldn't go back inside the house for about 2 months because I was terrified.
Sure. Adele, did you report this to MUFON?
To nobody. No. My kids told me, Mom, do not tell your story. You sound crazy.
No. You need to. When you see something like that, and I'll say this to any listener right now, when you see something in the sky that you can't explain, a V-shaped craft, a black triangle, something large, aircraft carrier in the clouds. You see anything like that, you need to go and officially report it with one of the UFO reporting agencies like MUFON. Because there are other people, like Adele, it's so important. Nobody thinks that what they see is important enough to report, and they forget about it. I am a victim of that myself. I have had three or four sightings in my life. I reported one. One. You know, now, if everybody reported what they saw in the skies, then we could start to figure out actually what's going on. What you saw in Texas, a large black V in the sky, is important. You always need to report it. And you can do it anonymously. Nobody needs to know who you are. But at least get it out there, and it can be compared with other reports that are out there. But that's an excellent call, Adele. And I still say, if you know the day and the date and the time, call MUFON and get it reported, because somebody else could have done the same thing, and it will verify what you saw. Thank you for the call, Adele. Let's go to Trevor in Vancouver, Canada, wild card. Trevor, welcome to Coast to Coast AM. Good morning.
How's it going?
It's excellent, Trevor.
Hey, I'm just calling in, first time caller here. I just want to share a really, really creepy kind of thing that happened the other night. I just want to give a quick rundown, though, that since I was a little kid, about 5 years old, I had recurring nightmares of being taken. I used to tell my mom about little doctors and that kind of thing and sort of creepy stuff like that. But about a week ago, I was sleeping on the couch and lying there, and I was kind of half woke up, you know, from my dream. And I heard a girl's voice say something in my ear, and it scared the hell out of me. I kind of half woke up, and I went to open my eyes, but I couldn't move. I was completely paralyzed. I could only get my eyes half open, and I could sort of see this sense of presence in front of me, this like kind of shadow person silhouette. And I sat there, and you know, it only was about 30 seconds, and it felt like it was hours. I just was like, I have to move. I thought I was being abducted. I didn't know what was going on. And I finally managed to get myself moving and open my eyes all the way. And all I saw was about a 6 foot, 5 foot tall silhouette of like a shadow person, a silhouette of a person, go from in front of the couch to around the couch and straight out the back door of my house. And it scared the living hell out of me. And I was basically didn't get back to sleep until the sun came up.
Trevor, thank you for the call. I had the same thing happen to me, nearly identical. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, standing in for George Norrie tonight. I want to remind everybody, tomorrow I will be down at the Hotel Irvine for the MUFON Symposium 2015 for the Hangar One Hangout. I'll be hosting that. Come down, meet Dwight Equitz, Mike Barra, Melissa Tittle, myself, Lee Spiegel. I want to thank Richard Dolan for coming in tonight. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Everybody be safe. Go Backley Tappy.